Time to talk some Timbers soccer. They're at Providence Park tomorrow night, 7:30, against FC Dallas. Big match. Team separated by just 2 points in the MLS West standing. Club the Timbs have struggled with recently. He is the play-by-play man. Match will be on Root TV, channel 734 on Comcast here in Eugene. Welcome back, Jake Zivin. Jake, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
All is well.
I want to quickly correct you. Don't mean to do that, but it's actually, the game's going to be on KPDX up here in Portland. So down there, it's KEVU for all the fine folks in Eugene that want to watch us at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Really? That's amazing. I actually went online and checked it. We sure about that? I mean, you would know.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Double check your cable guide. That's what I would say tomorrow night.
But, all right, we'll do that.
Yes, we're KPDX up here.
All right. Before we get to the Timbers, I talk each week with a fellow Bulls fan, Aaron Fentress, he's very protective of the Jordan and the Bull dynasty with all the LeBron comparisons. So now you got the Warriors with their record-setting win total last year and a sweep of the playoffs maybe this year. I'm curious, heading into this series, did you or do you have a rooting interest in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I'm the same way as Fentress. I'm definitely totally protective of the Bulls' legacy and Michael Jordan's legacy. I've always disliked LeBron James because the moment he came into the league, I felt threatened that he was going to usurp Jordan's legacy as the best player of all time. You could tell with his talent that it was possible. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, and I feel a little safer now, 10 years later, that will hopefully never happen. I guess more than 10 years. Huh? He's been in the league forever.
03, 04.
Is that what it is? 03, man. It's when I graduated high school. I think I'm the same age as LeBron James, and he's been a professional basketball player for 13 or 14 years. It's incredible. Anyway, I've always felt, I never liked him because of that. Now I'm not as worried. Same thing with the Warriors. Totally threatened. I don't want them to sweep through the playoffs because then they'll have that argument. Last year, I was rooting for the Cavs in the finals so that the 73-9 Warriors couldn't be in the conversation. If they won the finals, they'd always have the logical argument that they had a better record and they were the champions. But they will not have that because they didn't win the championship. But this year, if they sweep through the playoffs, I don't know. It's tough. It's a good team. It'd be awesome if we could see those two teams play each other. I know those arguments are kind of ridiculous and unreasonable because of the eras and the differences in this game, but I'd love to see him play.
I knew I was tapping into something here, Jake.
Exactly.
I want to get to last Friday, a 2-0 win against San Jose. A big one, and there's kind of a glut in that 18-21 point area. But it seemed Portland was on a mission right out of the gate, apply pressure offensively. They almost scored 12 minutes in. Adi hit the post. But then all of a sudden, tick, 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 it's still scoreless. Then that nice feed from Valentin to Spring Valeri. How big a score was that after having come so close all match?
Yeah, it's big. And that's something that I think that you touched on when you mentioned how tight the standings are. It was a really important match because of that. And that's kind of how MLS is. There's so much parity, especially in the West, that you got to kind of keep up. You've got to keep up with the Joneses because there's always going to be a logjam. And you lose a couple of those games against the teams that are in that logjam with you, and all of a sudden you slip behind them, and it's an uphill climb. So it was really important for that. I think they dominated, and there was a red card in the 37th minute that San Jose is going to really disagree with, two yellows within a minute that had Darwin Thuren sent off. But the Timbers were dominating before that. I thought they were more dominant before the red card than they were after the red card, which sometimes happens because the opposing team that's now down a man has to really focus on defending, and so it might be harder to break them down. And they were unlucky to score, as you mentioned early. Adi at the post right before halftime, unlucky. And they needed that goal, I think, because I think there's something psychologically where you're up a man and you're dominating a match. The longer and longer it gets, you don't score, it starts to creep in that, it's just tough. We need to get a goal. One moment from the other team, and all of a sudden they're up, and it's late, and this isn't deserved at all because we've been dominating. But that's all kind of, I think, creeping into your head the longer you go without getting that first goal in a match like that. And yeah, when it came, it was a great goal, a great pass, as you mentioned, to Valentin. Awesome finish from Valeri. And they needed the goal at that time, and I think it was a deserved win for them. 2-0 eventually, obviously, as they scored at the very end.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, as we continue with Timbers play-by-play man, Jake Zivin, I mean, you look at the 22 shots, 8 on goal. Earthquakes had 6 total shots, 1 on goal. Jake Leeson handled it. I mean, you talk about tilting the field like that, but the dominating on the defensive end seemed to be applicable there as well.
Yeah, especially considering what the game was like the last time these two teams played. It was the Timbers' worst match of the season, and they've been very open and honest about that. It was only about a month ago, down in the Bay Area in San Jose, a 3-0 win for the Earthquake, where they kind of controlled the game. So for the Timbers to come out and control it in all aspects, and, you know, a lot of times, I think, not a lot of times, in this case, I think you could almost say that the defense started with the offense. You know, and they just kept the ball from San Jose the whole game. Every time San Jose got the ball, at least early, you know, they would get it back, win it back. Wasn't a lot for Jake Leeson to do in that match. Wasn't a ton for the back line to do. And when there was, they dealt with it well. That's very important. And I think the overall team performance in every aspect of the match was really important for the team.
So I was reading the match preview from the Dallas side. They're going to be missing a quartet of players who were involved with their international team, plus Walker Zimmerman, who's injured. But on the Timber side, again, some significant players who will not be in the lineup tomorrow. So kind of fill us in on that.
Yeah, so Dallas, it's going to be an argument in both teams, right? Who is hurt the most by the absence? So for the Timbers, it'll be without Darlington Nagbe, who's with the U.S. national team. It was awesome for them last night in their win over Trinidad and Tobago. Really did all the hard work on the first goal in that game. He won't get a credit for an assist, but was you know the main man in that goal. So he'll be with the U.S. national team. They're playing at Mexico this weekend. So he's out. David Guzman, who's a defensive midfielder for the Timbers, kind of a field general out there, ball winner, defensive player but can also get forward, is with the Costa Rican national team. So he's out as well. So those are the two guys that are absent for the Timbers because of international duty. We'll probably see Dairon Asprilla filling in the attack for Nagbe like we saw on Friday where Nagbe was also out. And then in the midfield, it'll either be Lawrence Olam or Amobi Okugo. I guess Lawrence Olam filling in there. Then for Dallas, you mentioned it. Matt Hedges, Walker Zimmerman, Kellen Acosta, Minor Figueroa, all away with their national teams. Walker Zimmerman's hurt. Hedges and the other guys, national teamers, that's big. They're really down to their fourth and fifth choice center backs, guys who even converted center backs. So that's something the Timbers should be able to take advantage of. I think they feel like they can take advantage of it. But Dallas, as I talked about kind of the Timbers on Friday night, Dallas' attack is awesome. And they won 6-2 last weekend. They scored 5 goals in the first half. They're flying. So if they can kind of keep the ball from getting into dangerous spots for the Timbers by winning the ball in the midfield and then being so dangerous on the counterattack, that could hamper things for the Timbers. But I think the Timbers are going to try to attack a inexperienced back line for Dallas tomorrow night.
All right. Talking with Jake Zivin, Timber Soccer, tomorrow night, 7:30 game against FC Dallas. I was reading another preview. It said, this begins a difficult stretch where Portland plays 5 matches, 2 weeks, and it covers different levels of competition, as I'm still in the learning process when it comes to much of this. Kind of put that in layman's term for me and maybe some others.
It's hard for non-soccer fans, I think, to understand how it works. So there's another competition called the U.S. Open Cup that goes on concurrently to the season. And it's essentially a single elimination tournament that theoretically every team in the United States can enter. So you have amateur teams that can enter it, and they have to qualify from the way they play the year before. There's all these amateur leagues throughout the country, and the winners of those leagues get to enter the next season's U.S. Open Cup. And so theoretically, you could have these awesome Cinderella stories, you know, these George Masons making it to play the North Carolinas, right, if an amateur team can make it to play an MLS team. So that tournament's been going on. The MLS teams enter in the fourth round, which is where we are right now. So they give them a little bit of an advantage because They're the top level. They're the first division of American soccer. So the Timbers enter that on Tuesday, actually against the Seattle Sounders. Because of the numbers of it, the way it works out with forming the bracket, three of the games in the fourth round, which is essentially 16 matches, will be MLS versus MLS, and the Timbers have to be part of that. Some teams are playing amateur teams. Some have to play their main rivals in MLS. The Timbers will be playing up in Seattle. That game's on Tuesday. That'll be a younger group for the Timbers.
Right.
I don't think you're going to be seeing a lot of overlap between the group that plays on Saturday and the group that plays in that game, just because of the way the schedule is set up. If that were the only game of the week, they'd probably put out their first-choice starting 11, but they've got to be pragmatic. They've got to be smart about it. They're going to go there on Tuesday. Then next Saturday, they're in Colorado. Then a midweek game the following Wednesday at Minnesota. Then back at home Sunday the 25th for another match against Seattle, this time in MLS play. If they beat the Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup on Tuesday, then they're going to have a round of 16 match 2 weeks from now. So we could be seeing 3 weeks in a row where they have a midweek game, even 4 weeks in a row going into July where they're basically playing two games a week. So it's a busy stretch for them. It happens every summer for all the MLS teams, but it's something that's difficult to handle. And I think the Timbers have a plan, right? They know who they're going to play on Saturday, who they're going to play on Tuesday, who they're going to play the following Saturday, who they're going to play the next Wednesday. Obviously, plans can change, but it does take a little long-term or mid-term planning in stretches like this.
All right. I'm not sure if that's more clarified or if I'm more confused.
It might be more confusing. It is, soccer can be confusing like that, for sure.
That's awesome.
We haven't even talked about the CONCACAF Champions League, which the Timbers are in. We're in last year, where there's a third competition they could be in if they do well enough. So.
It's Friday, Jake. Yeah. My brain can only handle so much.
exactly.
He's Jake Zivin. Follow what he's up to on Twitter. The handle is at Jake Zivin. He'll be behind the mic calling the action with Ross Smith 7:30 tomorrow. Always fun catching up, Jake. Have a great broadcast tomorrow night. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll definitely look forward to catching up soon.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Steve. Talk to all of you down in Eugene on KECU on Saturday night.
All right, take it easy.